May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. Hymn 333.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is from the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help his servant to pray.
Most holy, most gracious Lord God, teach us now to pray and grant to us the gift of the Holy Ghost. O Lord, how dependent we are upon thee to indite real prayer into our hearts, that we might pray aright according to thy will, with that single eye to thy honour and to thy glory. But, O Lord, we would be thankful that there is a throne of grace, that we have one to go to, Almighty in the heavens, the one true living God, the prayer hearing and prayer-answering God. Oh, what a wonderful mercy if we have proved this. Lord, if we have proved thee to be our prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. Oh, to look back to those Ebenezer stones of hell, those times when we called upon thee, cried unto thee, prayed to thee, supplicated thy grace, and it pleased thee both to hear and to answer. Thou hast been my help. And, O Lord, if there is one or another here this morning that has been taught to pray, taught to cry unto thee, and yet, Lord, no answers seem to come. Like the Syrophoenician, he answered her not a word. And now, Lord, these dear souls are very concerned, very troubled, very perplexed, maybe very tempted, sorely tried. Oh, might it please thee, Lord, to appear. Oh, Lord, to answer their cries, to attend unto them. Lord, to remember them who would put their trust in thee, their hope in thee. May they prove thee to be the faithful God, the living God, the caring Creator, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort. O Lord, as we gather together here in these thine earthly courts, we pray for thy presence according to thy promise, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Oh, to feel thy presence here. Lord, may we as the dear hymn writer once penned, seen to breathe that different air. May it be noised abroad that Jesus is in the house. And, O Lord, that we might be found as the flock of thy pasture, be thou our shepherd, so cause us to hear thy voice and to follow thee. O, may our beloved come, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. And Lord, like the good Samaritan, do come right where we are. For thou alone knowest right where we are. O, then, Lord, do come. Have compassion. Have pity. For truly, we are not worthy, nor are we deserving. Lord, we are sinners, guilty, wretched, vile, hell-deserving sinners. Oh, how we have sinned against thee, in thought, word, and deed, sins of commission, sins of omission, sins immense as is the sea. Lord, we are sinners. But all that we might be found, those sinners, sheltering under the shed blood of Christ. All that we might be found, purged with his precious blood. Oh, saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation, and found accepted in him. Lord, hear us for Jesus' sake. We are not worthy, but Christ is worthy. So worthy, Lord, hear us for Jesus' sake. There is our hope. There is our plea. Nothing in and of ourselves, but everything in Christ. O Lord, then, draw near. Oh, we pray that there might be found prepared hearts, as the ground which is prepared to receive the seed. May there be hearts here that have been prepared to receive the precious seed of thy holy word. Lord, they may have been prepared, sanctified afflictions, sanctified troubles, sanctified trials, sanctified difficulties, sanctified oppressions, sanctified losses and crosses. Lord, all things that we may have passed through, which has been so sanctified by thy Spirit, in preparing our hearts, driving out the buyers and sellers, all that would intrude, all that would disturb, are even those weeds, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and other things, all that they might be driven away. Dear Lord, do be pleased to cause thy word to be sown. And as it is sown, so may it be applied. Applied by the Holy Spirit. For we believe where the Spirit applies, where there is that gracious application, it goes beyond the reach of Satan. Beyond the reach of our unbelieving hearts, beyond the reach of the things of this world. And there will take root downward and begin to grow upward. First the blade, then the ear, then the falcon in the ear. That fruit brought forth to thy honour and to thy glory. Grant, O Lord, that gale of grace. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon this garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden, and take of his pleasant fruits. How dependent we are upon thee. Oh, may nothing be done, may nothing be thought, may nothing be said, which would grieve thy Holy Spirit. Lord, then, do come into our midst and shed abroad a Saviour's love. And work mightily by thy Spirit, pull down the strongholds of Satan. And, O Lord, work in the hearts of thy people. Remember those who have come with that spiritual appetite, those who have come seeking Jesus, seeking that crumb of mercy, that handful of purpose, that food convenient. Those who have come seeking to hear thy voice, longing to hear thy voice, begging to hear thy voice. Be not silent unto me, O Lord, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Speak the word only, and thy servant shall be made whole. Those who have come longing to know their sins forgiven, longing to know that peace in believing, longing to be made sure, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation, longing for that peace which passeth all understanding, peace by his cross. O Calvary, may souls be drawn there, brought there, and behold a precious Jesus, suffering, bleeding, dying, in their room, place and stead. Lord, remember souls who need encouraging, souls who need reviving, souls who need restoring. Lord, remember souls who need a word in due season. Remember those, Lord, who have troubles, trials, difficulties, problems, hard things. Lord, they may have things in the coming week, great mountains before them, causing them much anxiety and many fears. Oh, then, Lord, who mercifully appear unto such. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become as a plain. Those who have crooked things, and rough things, trying things, things they cannot understand, things they struggle with. Lord, souls who may be cast down by the hardness of the way. Lord, souls who may have disappointments and setbacks. Oh, Lord, who remember each and every one. Remember all here present before thee. We would remember the babes, the little ones, the children and young people. O Lord, that each one might find grace in thy sight, that each one might prove in time to be of thy children. Or may they be taught of God, taught to seek the Lord while he may be found, taught to call upon him while he is near. Remember those at school and college, university. Oh, do hedge up their ways. Protect them from all evil influences and the peer pressures. The many, many temptations, allurements and attractions of the world. Grant them grace like Moses of old, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, but for a season, a short, fleeting season. Remember parents and grant all needed wisdom and grace to bring their children up aright in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to set that good example to them, to remember all in the midst of life, are the many burdens and cares and responsibilities and duties in the home, in the workplace, so many matters to be dealt with and attended to. Oh, grant all needed wisdom, all needed help, all needed strength and discernment. Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. Remember those in older years, as the mud-walled cottage shaketh. Lord, those in infirmity and weakness. Oh, Lord, do remember them and sanctify these things unto them. And may they prove even in old age that as thy days, so shall thy strength be. We would lovingly remember those not here this morning. Pray for any in affliction and sickness, infirmity, unable to come. Lord, do go to them. We would also remember those in lawful employment. Lord, do be with them. Lord, those away at this time, perhaps seeking a time of rest and change, do remember them also and bless them and bring them back again in peace and safety. Remember this cause of truth. Be mindful of them. Lord, do grant that they may know thy spirit remaineth among them. Oh, Lord, do remember the church. Bless them with peace and unity. Prosperity, do remember the deacons, do grant much grace and wisdom in the office that they hold as unto thee. And O Lord, who work mightily, here we pray, and let thy work appear. And what we pray for here, we pray for each cause of truth, all the little hills of Zion, the gatherings of thy people throughout our own land, throughout the whole earth, and especially those who suffer persecution, great tribulations, great difficulties, many fears. Lord, do protect them, help them, encourage them, go before them, undertake for them, prosper thy word here and throughout the whole earth, even in this day of small things, for thou art the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So we would be thankful for thy many mercies. We have so much to be thankful for. Forgive us where we're unthankful, ungrateful, unmindful, and forgetful. Now, Lord, do hear our poor prayer and hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. Do help us as we return to thy word. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 28. Blessed Spirit of Truth, Eternal God, thou meek and lowly dove, who fills the soul through Jesus' blood with faith and hope and love. Hymn number 28.
Yeah. as the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the chapter that was read, the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my God. Do we have that longing desire? Do we have perhaps that humble hope to be enabled to say, my God, the Almighty, the Eternal, the Sovereign, the Faithful God, or to know him as my God? Now, the dear Apostle could say, my God, by the Lord's dealings with his never-dying soul. No doubt in his life as Saul of Tarsus, he might have presumptuously said, my God, without any feeling. My God, because I am of the seed of Abraham. My God, because I am a Jew. My God, because I am a Pharisee. My God, according to the letter of it. But he never knew God personally. He never knew God savingly. He thought he knew God presumptuously. Oh, may the Lord ever keep us from presumption. We need keeping from presumption as much as we need keeping from unbelief. But when the Lord met him on that road to Damascus, where the Lord humbled him, emptied him, stripped him, where the Lord spoke to him, where the Lord taught him, where the Lord led him, then he could say, my God, my God. Or do we have those longings to be enabled to say, my God? Again, or that dreadful besetting sin of unbelief that would keep us from God. Unbelief with all its accusations, unbelief with all its temptations, unbelief with all its many, many fears. Or might be saying, but I could never say, my God, because we have a heart full of unbelief. And yet the living soul, the quickened soul, the burdened soul, the poor soul, the needy soul, will have that longing to know him as my God. My God. And yet again to be saved from presumption. Save thy servant from presumptuous sins. Oh, from presuming to know him as my God without knowing him at all. Oh, presuming to know him as my God because I'm a strict Baptist, because I come to chapel, because I read the Bible. But may the Lord grant us that personal, saving knowledge of himself. Or it may be like dear Thomas. They call him Doubting Thomas. Remember, he was not there when Christ first revealed himself. And how unbelief greatly swelled in his heart. And how he longed for those signs, those evidences. Or he longed to see Jesus. And Jesus was very merciful and very gracious, though Thomas had to wait. And yet that day came when the Lord Jesus again met with his disciples in that room and spoke personally unto Thomas, reach hither thy fingers and put them in the hole of my hands, and thy hand and put it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. My Lord and my God. Oh, to view Christ by the eye of faith, as he might be pleased to reveal himself. Perhaps we've come to the house of God this morning, oh, with those desires we would see Jesus. Oh, for that manifestation, for that revelation, to be enabled to say, my Lord, my God, my Saviour, my Redeemer, my Shepherd, my Husband, my Friend, my Altogether Lovely, the Chiefest among 10,000, my All and in All. But my God shall supply all the loving, faithful Creator who spoke and it was done, who commanded and it stood fast, shall supply. For with God nothing shall be called impossible. All that God can supply, because he is able to make something out of nothing. How wonderful do we read in the Hebrews concerning the creation through faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. All that the Lord shall supply, as that rich abundance wherewith he can supply. But my God shall supply. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Yes, the Lord often uses means. The heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. Like rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. The gold is mine, the silver is mine, the cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine. But my God shall supply. Because I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? For with God, nothing shall be called impossible. Nothing is too hard for the Lord to supply. But my God shall supply all your need. All your need. This word need. How often we need that gracious discernment to rightly understand what we need and also what we do not need. You see, often there is such a difference between what we think we need and what God sees that we need. And often we find that what we think we need is nothing more than covetousness, which is a dreadful sin. Nothing more than a want, nothing more than a lust. But my God shall supply all your need. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Or do I hear one think, well, that cuts me off because I do not walk uprightly. What is it to walk uprightly? Well, very simply, I believe it means to walk by faith. What is it to walk by faith? Looking unto Jesus. I do love that chapter in Genesis 24, where Abraham sends his servant to seek out a wife for his son Isaac. And that dear faithful servant, he prays his way along. You see, he had a need, a great need. Abraham had a need, Isaac had a need, his servant has a need, and I believe we can see all of them there praying, making it a matter of prayer, committing their way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. But my God shall supply all your need. And you see, that dear man, he walked uprightly. He prayed his way along. He made it a matter of prayer. He committed it into the hands of God. He sought grace to watch a Lord's hand, to know his will. And his need was supplied. Oh, that we might be found walking uprightly in the midst of this perverse and wicked generation, walking by faith, by grace, showing the world how Christians live. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. According to his riches in glory. Oh, when we think of Christ, the once crucified, but now risen, ascended, exalted Saviour, at the right hand of the Father, in glory above, who said, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. And as we sometimes sing, with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. That he is a mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. According to his riches in glory, the riches of his grace, the fullness of his grace, the abundance of his grace, according to his riches, of which there can be no end, of which there can be no running out, of which there can be no diminution. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, let us never lose sight of these last three words, by Christ Jesus. Every grace and every favour flows to us through Jesus' blood. All that sinners approach unto God by Christ Jesus. They come pleading the atonement, his finished work, his shed blood, or his great sacrifice, his righteousness. We are heard in heaven for Jesus' sake. The Lord looks upon us through his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now that we have many, many needs, both spiritual and providential, cannot be denied. And perhaps there are some of you here this morning in great need, in pressing need. But whenever I think of this word, I think how important, vital it is to set this word against the words of the Lord Jesus as he spoke to Martha. Now, Martha was cumbered about much serving. She meant so well. She loved Jesus. She ministered unto him. In that sense, she served him. But you see, there at that time, Jesus was teaching, he was preaching, and really Martha was being negligent. She was being taken up with the cares of this world. And she saw her sister Mary, who also loved Jesus, who also would serve him. But Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning of him. She wasn't cumbered about much serving. No, because Jesus was teaching, because Jesus was preaching, she would listen to him. She would hear his voice. And because Martha spoke rather unadvisably and rashly concerning her sister, she suffered a loving rebuke. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary have chosen that better part that shall not be taken from her. Now, dear friend, whatever your needs are this morning, however great, however pressing, however difficult, remember this, one thing is needful. Jesus is the one thing needful. I, without him, perish must. Holy Spirit, make me heedful. Help me on his name to trust. One thing is needful. Oh, let us ever remember that, whatever else we may forget this morning hour. May the Lord so apply his word into our hearts. Oh, that as we go on our ways, we won't remember that one thing is needful. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That one thing is needful when we come down to die. Oh, if we have all of our providential needs supplied, what good would it do us on a dying bed? What if we should have such an abundance, such a wealth, so many outward blessings and favours and comforts? Dear friends, what good will these things do us on a dying bed? Because one day we shall die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. Oh, that we must all die, that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is a never-ending eternity before us, to be spent in either heaven or hell. And hell stands the case, my soul with thee. For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus Christ thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? One thing is needful. Oh, might we be found striving to enter into that rest which is found in Christ Jesus. Or might we be found fleeing for our lives unto that eternal city of refuge. Or might we be found by faith sheltering under his blood. May it be, give me Christ, or else I die. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, in connection with what I've just spoken about, one thing is needful. So I do hope and trust there are some of you here this morning who have spiritual needs. And perhaps you have come with your need of Christ to save you from your sins. Oh, this is your great, this is your pressing need, that need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you need him to be your saviour. You need him to be your Redeemer. My God shall supply all your need, all that saving knowledge of Christ, to know Christ formed in our hearts, the hope of glory. Yes, that saving knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, to be enabled to say, my God, my Saviour, my Redeemer, my all in all. This my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Oh, dear friends, do you feel your great need of the Lord Jesus to be your Saviour? And I would say, if you feel that need, then there shall be a performance of these things spoken of in our text, that the Lord who has given you that need will also supply your need, or even your need of Christ. For man by nature is dead, spiritually dead, in trespasses and in sins, and the dead know not anything. Oh, how solemn to be left in a dead profession of religion. The Lord will quicken his people out of such a state and condition. They shall be made to live. They shall be a living people. And what is one characteristic, even in nature, of a living person? Well, they have an appetite. And so it is in grace. And here perhaps is a great test of our religion. Do we have a spiritual appetite, a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, after Christ, after the Word of God? Have we come to the house of God this morning with such a spiritual appetite that our souls might be fed, or that there might be those crumbs of mercy, so the Lord might feed us through his word, applied by his Spirit? And that spiritual appetite after Christ, all to know him. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, again, in connection of this, do you feel your need of God's mercy? Has it been your prayer, God, be merciful to me, the sinner? Ah, has that prayer been burnt into your heart? A prayer that you would not say rashly, indifferently, carelessly, but a prayer that you wrestle with God with. So greatly do you need his mercy. Now, why is it you need his mercy? Is it not because you feel the plague of your own heart? Is it not because you feel to be a lost, ruined, undone, wretched, vile, hell-deserving sinner? Or is it not because you know something of the guilt of your sin, that you have broken the holy commandments of God, and as such you deserve his wrath, you deserve his anger, you deserve his indignation, you deserve to be cut off, you deserve to be cast into hell, there to perish eternally? But under such a condemnation, with feelings of such guilt and horror and dread, trembling, you've been taught your need of God's mercy. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? God is so holy, so just, so high, so great, cannot look upon sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, that God is merciful. Do we feel our need of God's mercy? God, be merciful unto me, the sinner. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then again, you think of the words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There can be no spiritual life if there hasn't been a spiritual birth. Do we long to know that we possess that spiritual life? Long to know that we are born again? With a dear hymn writer do we pray, show me some token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God, and that my treasure is above. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? In the Gospel of Luke, we have there, how much more shall your Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Oh, pray for the gift of the Holy Ghost, to know something of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit bearing witness with our spirits that we are the children of God by that spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I just want to speak from this word in another way, concerning those real needs that we have in our pilgrimage, in our pathway. If any of you lack wisdom, oh, how often we feel to be lacking wisdom. Again, this might be seen both spiritually. You think of Proverbs 8, wisdom set forth here as Christ. And again, to see it, I suppose, spiritually, and be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And to, surely to know the will of the Lord is to seek that grace to follow him. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If any of you lack wisdom, in the path of tribulation, lacking wisdom, what to do? Tried almost beyond cessation, keep me with the crown in view. Be my helper, be my helper, that I may my way pursue. If you come this morning feeling your great need of wisdom, that is for God to give you wisdom, so that you may know what to do according to his will, to walk in his ways, and so to follow him, to be under his smile, under his approbation. For surely when we are found by grace walking in the Lord's ways, we have a promise that he will supply our every need. If any of you lack wisdom, or perhaps that's a word in season to one or another, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Remember, God gave unto Solomon wisdom. And what wisdom was given to him when he said, ask and it shall be given him? And what wisdom, that he sought not the life of his enemies, he sought not riches, he sought not prosperity. Oh, but he prayed for that grace to govern that kingdom that would be right in the sight of God. And because such wisdom was granted unto him, then the Lord also granted him those things which he had not requested. And Solomon lived in great prosperity and honour and power. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And oh, how often we need wisdom. Wisdom to know the Lord's will. Wisdom to know what to do. How often we're brought into great straits. How often we're brought into places where decisions have to be made. And a child of God, one who fears God, will try to commit their way unto the Lord, to trust also in him and to prove he shall bring it to pass. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Or perhaps as one here in need of divine guidance, wisdom, to know the Lord's will. Perhaps you've had setbacks or disappointment, doors have been shut. Or perhaps you have various ways open before you, and you don't want to know what is the right way. Well, again, take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask the Lord to make it plain, to make it clear. But my God shall supply all your need. Ah, your need of divine guidance. But then another word. For ye have need of patience. And in the path of tribulation. Oh, what great need we have of patience. I waited patiently for the Lord. My God shall supply all your need. That need of patience in waiting upon God. Now, let me give you one very clear example from Holy Scripture. And you think of the prophet Elijah. And you think of that word the Lord gave him to speak unto Ahab and the inhabitants of Israel, that there would be no rain or dew upon the ground for 3.5 years, according to the word of God. Now, the Lord would take care. The Lord takes care of his people. Now, do remember that. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Look at it the other way around. He careth for you. So cast all your care upon him. One thing we know about Elijah, he was a man of faith. He was a man of prayer. As we have it in James, he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And so the Lord withheld rain from the earth. And yet the Lord sent his prophet to the brook Cherith, and commanded the ravens to bring him that flesh morning and evening. But my God shall supply all your need. Never limit God to hell, he will supply your need, whatever your need is. There is that hymn touching upon Elijah. More likely to rob and to feed were ravens which live upon prey. But when the Lord's people have need, his goodness will find out a way. This instance of those may be strange to who know not how faith can prevail. But sooner all nature shall change than one of God's promises fail. And so for a time the brook continued to flow, supplying him with water, which was absolutely vital. And morning and evening the ravens came, bringing him that flesh, his sustenance. And so he proved that my God shall supply all your need. Now, how long he was there, we're not told. But what we are told is that when the brook dried up, now, I feel it is right that we can assume that when Elijah first went there, the brook was flowing quite freely with an abundance of water. And such is the nature of any drought. There would have been that gradual decrease in the supply of water. And you know what I'm coming to? Each day, or perhaps each week, Elijah would have noticed the supply of water diminishing, reducing. From once was a stream, now perhaps is reduced to a trickle. And how his faith would have been greatly tried. What patience he needed, what faith he needed to wait upon God. Now, as far as we can tell, he wasn't unbelieving. We wonder how much time he spent in prayer, communing with God, pleading with God. And he wasn't presumptuous to go wandering around to look where other water might be. But there he abode, and there he waited, and waited patiently. Perhaps there's one here this morning, your pathway, circumstances or situation, the brook is drying up. Can I suggest, at present, the brook hasn't quite dried up? You know better than me. And if it hasn't, and if you have no word from the Lord, then, dear friend, whatever the temptations, whatever the fears, whatever is pressing upon you to do something, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. Elijah waited until the Lord spoke and gave him commandment of where to go, even to Zarephath. For I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And without that he could not have gone. And he would not have gone. He had to wait patiently until the brook dried up. Then there was a real need. And dear friends, when you come into real need, the Lord will supply your need. Oh, but do wait upon God and wait patiently for him. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is good. The Lord is kind. The Lord is full of compassion. Yes, your faith may be tried. Severely tried, sorely tried, but wait upon God. God will never be before his time. God will never be too late. Oh, I know sometimes our faith is so shaken, we think God is too late. Perhaps we suffer disappointments, we suffer setbacks. Things happen or things do not happen. Now we think it's too late. You think of the father of Jairus. As Jesus was coming to heal his daughter, his servants came. Trouble not the master. Thy daughter is dead. The case is hopeless. The Lord is too late. Said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, all things are possible. But my God shall supply all your need. And as it was with Jairus and his daughter, that need of healing. And as it was with Elijah, that need for his body, that need for his welfare. And as the Lord's people ever prove, ever will prove, ever must prove the truth of our text, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, just in conclusion, one thing set before us here, I feel, is that of prayer. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. And I feel that could also be said, be careless for nothing. So don't be full of over-anxious care for nothing, and also be not careless, indifferent, and presumptuous for nothing, but in everything. Every need, great need, small needs, every need, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. For these things, for these needs, I will be inquired of, O house of Israel, to do them unto you. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £705, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pickett will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Chapman will address the prayer meeting tomorrow evening. And Mr. Pack will preach on Good Friday morning at 10 o'clock, if he is well enough. And God willing, Mr. Jonathan Bruss will preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 904. O Lord, with shame I do confess my universal emptiness, my poverty and pride. I cannot keep thee in my sight, nor can I think one thought aright, unless thy spirit guide. Hymn 904.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.